Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm getting ready to do the Bigfoot boogie, baby. Yes, indeedy. It's our hour every Wednesday. Here we go. Around the globe, just one more time. How is everybody faring this damn coronavirus, COVID-19? Everybody I talk to's got cabin fever. Either that or these young people. Next thing I find out, in the next 9 months, we're going to have a population exploding here, folks. A lot of babies are being made, I'll tell you straight up. You have no clue. Okay, but guess what? We're going to enjoy them just like we enjoy all the other population that's exploding around the world. You know what, guys? I feel good today. Two reasons. I get an email from a guy that worked for me back in 1974. Can you dig it? Think about how long ago that was. My God, that was 46 years ago. He was 17 years old. He worked for me from a company that I had working in San Jose. He did real good, too. He went on from that to go into the Marines. He was there for 10 years. Then he got married. He was the luckiest guy in the world. He marries this chick. I think she's about 25 years younger than him. But smart as a whip. Oh, she's got all kinds of letters after her name. PhDs, this, that, MBAs. I don't know what the hell. But all it looks impressive anyway. Can you dig it? We had a conversation today. We're going to have a lot more going on. She's a statistician. And she has some ideas, and she wants to collaborate with us. And hopefully she's going to put all this information after she drains my brain, which doesn't take that very long nowadays, guys, I got to tell you. And she's going to find out that, oh, my God, maybe we can get ahead of these people or these creatures before they get to their next migrational route or vice versa, okay? Because of all the sightings, she's going to do a compilation of things like nobody's ever done. And it's all because of my buddy Bud. His wife, she's back on the East Coast, ladies and gentlemen. Name is Stephanie. Stephanie, you out there?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you, sir?
You brought light into my life, young lady. And you brought joy into my life. Which is a beautiful thing. And you're going to be joining the Bigfoot family now. You know, we go all over the globe. And tell my listeners around the globe, Stephanie, if you would, please, without divulging
Charlie.
Too much, because our competitors might want to, you know, get in on the act. Can you dig it?
Yes, sir,
so
I do.
Just give them a brief overview. You got the stage, girl. Go.
Sure. In general, my idea for this project is to use data analytics to research behavioral patterns in migration with Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and compare that to sightings and activity all across the globe, and hopefully use the data analytics and machine learning that lets us see what is going on, what these behaviors are, what maybe some of their habits are, their migration routes, and maybe see if we can come up with some answers to help get more information on this animal.
And you know the information that I'm looking for, right, and my team?
Yes.
It's bringing one home, baby girl. That's what it's all about. Now, if we can get ahead of the game and get there right before they get there, we got half the battle won, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What other things you want to put on this thing? Tell don't tell them everything, but give them a little bit more.
Sure.
Maybe
try to find some automation and make an interface that would help with this. And the reliable data is the key here. What can we use that's already been done? What can we use that is newly collected from folks all over the globe that has provided this information to us, and how can we use that to best set us up?
Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, Steph, I got to tell you a story. My co-host, Rocky Slavens, he's on with it. Rocky, you out there from Arkansas?
Yes, I am.
Rocky, you and I talked a little bit about this earlier today. And you thought it was a great thing that Steph's coming aboard here, and it'd be great for us due to the fact of Rocky said to us, well, could she do that with moose and caribou, and could she do it with bear, and could she do it with deer? You know, that's pretty big, you understand? So if we could do something like that, we put a program together, Steph, well, we'd have the world coming to us, wouldn't we?
Yes, sir. We'd be able to apply it in a lot of different situations.
You bet. Now, here's one thing I didn't tell you, Steph. Rocky, my co-host, he's kind of like a brother to me, all right? He's my family, all right? Anybody says anything bad about him, they're saying something bad about me, and guess what? It's back-to-back in the circle, and we'll fight our way out, and I think we'll be victorious and triumphant. Wouldn't you think so, Rock?
I think so. And if not, we can at least find... We can find the cave.
That's an inside joke, Steph. We were down there, and I think it was, I don't know where it was, but we were out in the brush, and all these other people said, well, here, it's over here. We've seen it. We've been there and all that kind of crap.
Get out.
We're going every which way but the right way. And I said, Rocky, come with me. And, you know, him and I were the two senior people there, and we found it. How quick, Rock?
Oh, about 10 minutes later at most.
So I wanted to tell you, Steph, this is the guy that wrestled. Was it a grizzly bear or a brown bear? What was it?
It was a Canadian brown.
A Canadian brown in a ring, and he beat him.
Wow.
Yes, that's right. You go on the internet. And what's it under now, Rocky?
Just go to YouTube and look up Rocky Slavin.
S-L-A-V-E-N-S?
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll see him actually wrestling this bear. He's my man, I got to tell you. That's the reason why he's my co-host, and he'll be with me till the day I die. That's for damn sure. But listen, Stephanie, I want to thank you so much. And, Bud, if you're out there next to your lovey, we'll be in touch real quick, and we'll put our together here and make this whole thing happen. And I want to thank you, Bud, for getting involved and remembering after all these years.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the show. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you can just mute yourself out, and you can hear the rest of the show, okay? You'll get a being of finding out what's going on around the country, okay?
Yes, sir. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Oh, look, isn't she sweet?
Good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Steph. And Bud, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Steph. She's back there in the East Coast somewhere. I'm not going to divulge what, because I don't want people knocking on the door. Next thing you find out, they'll be wanting to take her away from my buddy, Bud, and that's not going to happen, all right? So what's happened since the last week I saw you or talked to you, Mr. Slavins?
Well, truthfully, I went out to the woods again. Didn't really see anything because I got hit by a major storm. Had to ride out of the woods in a blinding rain, but you know, what can you say? You go out in the woods, sometimes you get wet.
Well, not only that, you made it back safe and you're telling a story, right?
Well, there you go.
You know what, guys? I got a treat for you. Our buddy Dave Ortiz that couldn't get in last week, and it wasn't because of him. I know he's not wasn't feeling good, but he had technical difficulties getting in, but he's here with us tonight, and he's feeling great. I told you the background with him. He's been with us for many, many years out there in Farmington, Shipwreck, and every place else in New Mexico, and he presently has the virus. He's got COVID, and I hope things are getting better for him because we've done a prayer all around the globe for him. If you're ready, David, come on out there from New Mexico.
Yeah, can you hear me there?
Loud and clear. Boy, are you vibrant tonight. Look at you.
Yeah.
You feeling
excellent.
Better?
Yeah, I am. Actually, this Monday was finally where it broke after a month of having this COVID-19.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did you get any, if you don't mind, if we can talk a little bit about this, because there's people interested. You know what I mean? That probably does a lot of people out there that don't know of anybody that's had it, and they're going to hear it now coming from you. How did you know you had it?
My friend, I'm a musician, and we play in Durango quite often. This keyboardist and me, that he just lives two streets away. Well, he told me he didn't feel very good, and you know, he just said, I just got a cold. He never gets sick, so just basically just discounted the whole weekend, you know. And then about a week, he started going downhill from what I heard, and then he went to go get his test, and he came out the next week after that he was positive for coronavirus. So I said, uh-oh, I've had full exposure. So I went and got my test, and there we go. I was positive as well.
Okay, so how's he doing, first of all?
He's doing a lot better. He had a collapsed lung previously, out of it, and it's going to take him a while to recover, you know, because there's been some injuries from the surgery. But he's doing better, and I think he's going to recover okay.
Oh, God bless him. Our prayers will go out to him also. And if Father Ray is out there, which I think I know he is, please put him on the prayer list, would you, Father Ray?
Oh, Thank you.
Yes.
He's with us. Okay. So what happened to you? You went and got tested. You found out you had it. And then what happened? What was the next step?
Yeah, and then I started getting it started feeling like just a regular flu to start, like a cold flu, but I was getting a major headache that I'd never had ever in my life. It was an injury when I if you remember, I was on crutches and on a walking cane back in some of the earlier days.
Yes.
My head was injured during that time too, and I felt that. It felt just like as if I just hit my head, you know, back on the ground again. And I started getting concerned about that, but it did eventually go away. And there was a little bit of relapse, actually, last week. I started just a lot of sleep. I couldn't get enough sleep. That kind of worried me. Plus, I was getting some my lungs were starting to feel a little pressured. And I said, you know what, if this happens for a day or two, I've got to go to the doctor. And then late Sunday, it started going away. And, you know, I suspect just all those prayers and thoughts have really helped. So I thank everybody who's prayed.
Now, are you quarantined? How long are you going to be quarantined for?
Probably the rest of the month, most likely, you know, just to be sure. There wasn't actually any, any guideline. They just said when you start feeling better, you know, just stay healthy and try to stay out of places where there's, you know, people population, where there's.
So there was no quick fix, any type of drugs or anything they gave you?
No, there was nothing.
You just wrote it out.
Yeah.
And your natural antibodies just took care of it and fought it.
Right. And then actually here in about another week or two, I may go in. I'll have to, my doctor will call for a check on antibodies. And what they'll do is they'll possibly use those antibodies for other people to help recover.
You know, I have to tell you a story. It happened to me today. I had an appointment with my doctor that she set up on Monday for 11 o'clock today. So it was going to be one of these things that you could see on the computer type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So her assistant calls me at 22:11 and tries to walk me through it. Because, you know, I'm old school, right? So I go through all this crap and I finally get in and now it's 11:05. And it says, okay, please wait for your doctor to join. So she says to me, the girl that was assisting, I'll call you back at 11:05 and make sure that you guys are okay. I says, great. So here it comes, 11:01, 11:02, 11:03, 11:05, nothing. 10 after 11, nothing. 15 after 11, nothing. 20 after 11, I said, screw this shit, okay? So now I'm on a conference call with a couple of attorneys, and she calls. I says, fellas, just give me a chance. I got a doctor calling. She says, oh, Mr. Biscardi, how are you? I said, not very well, doc. I says, because I'm not used to sitting and looking at a screen on a desktop for 25 minutes waiting for you to get on when you had an appointment with me at 11 because you called the time. So I don't have time to talk to you right now. I'm busy. So now you call and make an appointment with my secretary and see what's good time for me. And I suggest that you make it on time because otherwise I'm going to start billing you for my time. And I hung up.
Wow. Well,
you know, I don't, you know, really, you call me up, you set the time, you have your assistant get me on this damn boob tube thing and 25 minutes you keep me holding? Hey, baby, not a good thing to do with Tom Biscardi.
Right.
That was my situation this morning with my doctor. And, you know, I'm really thinking about changing now. And, yeah, I know there's going to be people out there. Well, Tom, we're going through a serious. I didn't call me for the appointment. She called me. I'm fine. I don't need no bullshit. Next thing you find out. She's calling me. Oh, I'm your new doctor and get acquainted with you. Well, when she called me that a month ago, and I told her I need some of this and I need some of that, so she says to me, go get a thing called Mucinex D4. I said, what the hell is that? Is that a prescription? She says, no, it's over the counter. I says, is it going to clear up my sinus thing and everything? So I go there, I get it, couldn't find it. It was behind the counter and all this bullshit. I paid $34 for this thing. Go to find out.
to clear up mucus. You ever heard of a thing called mucus?
Yeah.
And I said, it's not what's the problem that I have, okay? So this is the one that called wanting to, you know, get my whole life's history and all that bullshit. Well, I don't know if you understand it anymore. When people reach the ages of 55 plus, which I've been there and back a few times, they think that you're stupid, old, feeble, and senile. And except when they get somebody in the Biscardi family, look out, because they're going to bust your balls. And that's what I've done. So it's a tough situation, man. It really is. And I know what you've gone through. And, gosh, I'm so happy that you sound like a million bucks. I sure my audience out there, and thank you for sharing with them. But now let's go on the other side of the coin. How long have we known you?
Oh, gosh, since 2005. 15 years.
15 years. Unbelievable. How many auditions have you been on with us?
I've been on two expeditions to Paris, Texas. And so you came into the area too, like two or three times.
Yeah.
So we've been about five times probably, but at least four or five times.
What was the most compelling expedition that comes to your mind that really sticks out and says, oh, my God, this was the one for me?
Yeah. Paris, Texas, absolutely. That we were there twice, and it was – I've never been so close to the Bigfoot realm as that experience.
If you would be so kind to give them a blow-by-blow to my audience around the globe, I sure would appreciate it. You've got the stage. Tell the world what you experienced.
On the first expedition to it was Pat Macy Lake. That very first evening, it was JC and I, the late JC Johnson. So, you know, bless his soul, he passed away 2 years ago. We went to Paris to your expedition, and within two or three hours of, you know, you had us stationed on in a little cove there. And while we were there, JC and I heard something walking from that gully just right below, Lance Bailey's house, and there was something walking. So we eventually got a hold of TJ, the Scardi, your son, and TJ went to look at the area. He did a grid pattern, and then he came to talk to us later. He said, guys, I don't see anything. There's nothing here. All of a sudden, there's this big walnut branch that just flies in the air and just lands maybe about 15 or 20 feet from us. I think threw it just as a warning. It was wild. You know, it's like we heard something. It was probably less than 40, 50 feet away from us in the brush. But when TJ went, it just must have had some kind of stealth property to it or something. And it was amazing. And then there was a big screech. I think you were there, too. It was like a screech howl. I've never heard anything like that. It sounded like a woman turning into a peacock voice. And on the second expedition, there were reports of something in that same gully. I remember we camped right in Lance Bailey's property. That was in spring break of 2008. There was, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said they thought they saw something moving in that gully. It was kind of white looking, and it wasn't any kind of creature or animal that they've ever seen. It was just real brief. So there was all kinds of stuff. There were vocalizations one morning, too. Everybody was asleep. It was about 6 in the morning. They were very... very distinct. The whoops, the screams, and the dogs around that neighborhood just howling. You know, they were just freaked out. But yeah, it was just really compelling out there. The tracks. Oh, and then of course there was the track that was found in that field, in the privately owned field. Very fresh. And then to top it off, there's a farmer in there, you know, doing his farming while there is, you know, this footprint that was probably made within 2 or 3 hours right there. And I think somebody interviewed him briefly, and he said he felt like some eyes were watching him, but he just said he had to do his job. So I said, that's a pretty brave man.
You know, when you sit and tell about this, that it comes up in my mind, you know, like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So, like I said many times, ladies and gentlemen, Pat Macy, Lamar Point, Paris, Texas, we put that place on the map, folks. And I owe a lot to Lamar Point because we really popped our cherry over there, and the world got to know about it. And it never seemed to fail. Every time we got out there, boom, it was always something new. It was just incredible. And then, of course, every time we went out there, the press was there, TV cameras, the newspaper, the whole nine yards, because they knew when Biscardi and his team get out there, look out, something's going to happen. Because we know what we're doing. Wouldn't you say, Rocky?
I would say so, yeah.
And that's what it's all about. Now do me a favor, if you would, Dave.
Sure.
Tell the people about the stuff that happened over there in Farmington and the Rio Grande or the Rio River and Shipwreck and all those other places that you went.
Yeah, that's right. We that was in 2007. Yeah, it was November 2007. We went up to the Lukachukai Mountains. That was actually 2 weeks after that expedition in late October. We camped up there. We had a large camp, and we didn't see any Bigfoot stuff. But I'll tell you what we did see. We saw what people describe as ghost lights. We saw these balls about the size of basketballs flying through the pine trees, and I remember somebody saying, "Hey, we're looking for Bigfoot, not UFOs," you know. So we've had that happen, but we also were in the San Juan River area. There was the cave. We call it Skinwalker Cave, and that's actually been on TV a few times, actually.
The other one, Brenda Harris. Remember her?
Yes, Brenda Harris.
I just saw her 2 weeks ago, and she was on with Zach Gagans in Ghost Adventures.
Right.
And
yeah,
the same film that we saw there at her house, they showed it. That it looked like a devil coming out of the ground.
Right. Right.
Pretty interesting. It really was.
Yeah, there's some there's a lot of activity in that area. It's in between Farmington and Shiprock on the San Juan River. We're getting a lot of reports of Bigfoot, and people try to find it physically, and they don't find it. But I'll tell you what, it seems to find you when you least expect it. There it is. It seems to be the rule of the land in that area.
You bet.
And
there was a couple of people out there that I respected immensely. One, I guess, what was his name? John Lee?
Yeah, I tried to get a hold of him. He's been really busy. He works out in the reservation. So he answered me, but he said he wasn't able to get on the phone right away.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy was a monolith of a man. I don't know. What was he, about 6'2", 400 pounds?
He used to be, actually, he got up to 500 pounds for a short time.
Yeah, 500. But he was the guy, he managed a Wendy's, you know, those like Burger Kings and stuff. And every time we came into town, he says, no, you come and eat at my restaurant. For what you're doing for us, we want to take care of you to make sure you and your team eat. Great guy. And then he came up to the Lukachuk guys with us, remember?
Yes, he did.
And on the way back, he his rig broke down, and all of his compadres left him. But we made sure we stood there with him until he got the tow. You remember that?
Yeah, sure do.
I got a lot of respect for him. And then there was a young couple, a guy and a young man and a young woman, and they were armed to the T. I don't know if they had MC.
Oh, that was Vincent Lujan and his girlfriend Leona.
Whatever happened to them?
Vincent's back in the area again. He moved back east for a while. He's living in I've seen him occasionally. And Leona, I think she lives somewhere else now. She took residence in a different city, but I still see her on Facebook on occasion.
Really?
Yeah, he still loves his armament.
Well, I got to tell you though, I was so surprised to see how knowledgeable they were. Okay, and then I loved it when he told me that, you know, I've been following you, Mr. Biscardi, for a long time, and yada, 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 and it's an honor to be out here with you. And then there was that gully that went at night when we went up. I don't know if you remember. Then it was the other Indian family that was close to trailers.
Yes, yes. It was in Kirtland, New Mexico.
You remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, yeah. And
yeah, that was the time Mitch Waite was still alive. And,
yes.
He helped out.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
My
that
gosh.
Bigfoot.
And Mitch is dead now, isn't he?
Yeah, he passed away. Poor guy. He was a really good guy, too.
Yeah, we like him. We was in Arizona. We got there. His wife had dinner for us. I'll never forget it. And just a super dude, man. Super dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
He just took care of everybody and put them under their wings. You know the story. Wow. This has been like old home week, Dave, and I want to thank you for this. I know that you've been under the weather, but here you are. You had the tenacity to come back and be with the Bigfoot family, and I'll tell you what, buddy, you were indebted to you, and you know we're there for you. So just mute yourself out. We got a whole half hour left, and we got some good studies and some people that you probably remember, okay?
Great. Yeah, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Tom. I was going to call you Bob. Tom.
I know. Thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, my good buddy, our family member, Dave Ortiz out there in Farmington. God love him. He's a great guy. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to MISSISSIPPI. That's right. It's called MI Mississippi. Saran, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's over there in the town of Philadelphia. And they're all probably thinking to me, Philadelphia, you mean on the East Coast? No, he's on the reservation. Philadelphia, Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you something. This gentleman got a hold of me how many years ago?
No, I think about 6 years ago.
Was it that recent?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was about 10 years ago, to be honest with you. I tried to figure
really
it out.
It was, my mother died 4 years ago. It was 2 years before that, I believe.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something about his mother. God rest her soul. We loved her. Our team loved her. She invited us into her home and told us stories like you wouldn't believe. And she saw the creature many times. But you know what? I don't want to take the thunder from your story because you tell it so well. So let's go back, whether it's 6 years, 8 years, or 10 years, how this whole thing started and how it escalated to where you are today.
Well, I haven't had a sighting since 1972, but I did see the creature for a few seconds and at that time I never heard a Bigfoot or Sasquatch, but I saw a few seconds of it, and I started running away, and it was right beside me all the way up to the highway. Anyway, I always thought, was that a bear? What was that? You know, later on, years later, I saw a documentary by someone, the Patterson-Gimlin film, and I said to myself, that's what it was. Anyhow, 6 or 7 years back, we had a rash of sightings. My niece, 1 year, she come running in the house and she was crying and all scared. And they asked her what happened. So I just saw a real ugly looking monster out there, you know, at the back of the house, you know. So, we said it must have been the Sasquatch. Anyway, another year later, she come running back in, and this time it was two Sasquatch. They were standing only a few feet away from her. Anyway, a year later, the creature walked across my mother's yard, and my niece that saw it twice before was there, and my mother saw it, and she come running, and my mother said, "What is that?" And she said, "That's Bigfoot." And how they described it was, it was very tall, very huge, reddish brown, brownish reddish, or what do you call it, reddish brown, and had stringy hair, some parts of his body were matted, and it looked like he had been laying in mud because they could tell mud on his body. And it, and my mother said he took one step and seemed to cross the driveway. Us normal human beings will take 3 or 4 steps to cross the driveway, but he took one step, and when he was gone, he went down the hill and he disappeared, you know. So and there's been a lot of sightings here and there since, but recently, as 4 months ago, my brother went outside and he saw eyes, you know, from the light from his house. And he stood there and looked, and it was kind of like a little gully right there. And he saw the eyes, and he was standing there looking at the eyes, and all of a sudden, you know, the eyes stood up. And he said that they looked at each other. They stared at each other for what seemed like a long time, and he realized what he was looking at. And he said it was, he wasn't very big, wasn't very tall, but he was definitely a Bigfoot, and it was only maybe 10 feet away from him, about 10 feet away from him, from like from here to, you know, like a football field, 10 feet, something like that. So that's the latest I got. And my brother said, boy, that scared him. You know, all of a sudden he realized what that was, and he said he ran into the house, you know.
Okay, now I'm going to tell everybody what happened after we went to see Mama. Then we went out and had a little something to eat. We're going to come back there. I want you, in your own words, to tell everybody when you wanted to take me one area, and I said, no, stop here. We're going to go down this little gully. And it was me, it was you, it was
Matt Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. It was Bill Coffey, and it was Jim Dawson. And
Jim.
What did we uncover, young man?
Well, I didn't know what it was, there was a pine tree that had fallen. I think it was because of the wind. But you could see that there was a kind of a lair that was built inside, and you could see some of the other trees that were bent down over, and I was looking at it, and you said, "See how it's done?" And some of the trees, the young trees, were turned around and around. You know what I mean? Instead of broken into half. I mean, it would have been a strong man to do that, but, you know, it twisted the tree around and around. And there was a space that this creature was building, I guess, you know. Anyway, me and Mac Jackson went through the woods a few weeks after. We found a lair too. It was almost like
No, you're missing a good part of this.
Okay.
We decided to go out and get a new trail cam, and we put up and we baited it that night. When we went back the next day, what did we find on the trail cam?
Well, I was just standing there, and I was hoping, you know, that there would be a picture or something. Anyway, everybody looked disappointed. And all of a sudden, everybody started, started feeling, jumping around, feeling happy, you know. And you told me, said, come here, look at this. And I come over there and look at it. Sure enough, there was the image of the creature walking past one of the trail cameras. Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, ladies and gentlemen, we called the police department, and they were scared. They didn't want to go down in that little gully to see where that thing was taken. But we took them down there. We said, don't worry, we're with you. Then the TV cameras came out, and they took it. We were on the news that night. Then within 2 weeks later, you had two of the boys. It was Coffee and my co-host.
I think it was Rocky, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Rocky, come on. Join this conversation.
Yeah, I went down into the lair. I camped in Theron's mother's backyard all the time that I was there. I saw the picture. Bill Coffey and me would go down there and check the game cameras and all that every night and or every morning. But I was out walking the area every night. But yeah, I saw the lair. I was in the lair. Unfortunately, there'd been other people that was coming down there during the day, and so anything that was like a track would have been wiped out by that time.
So the big question is, Rocky.
A funny story. I was in Theron's mother's backyard, and I heard somebody yelling my name, yelling Rocky. So I started up that way, and I walked up in the backyard, and Theron's mother was out there, and she was yelling Rocky, and I got almost to her before she saw me. And she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Rocky." And she said, "You're not Rocky." And she said, "That's Rocky," and pointed over the dog. Anyhow, I just had to throw that in.
Okay, so here's the big $64,000 question. What made you guys leave?
Threats from the police.
From the police. Elaborate, would you please?
Well, I was still parked out in Theron's mother's backyard, and Bill Coffey came in that morning, and anyhow, he had talked to somebody the night before, came up to him in the casino. Well, I never went to the casino other than a couple of times to eat breakfast with Bill, but he said that this guy that was actually had some connection with the police had come up and told him that we should probably clear out because the police was fixing to come down there and talk to us, and it wasn't going to be a pleasant experience for us. And so Bill said that under the circumstances, it might be time for us to clear out. And so I headed for Arkansas a little while later, and he was a little ways behind me.
Have you ever seen him, Theron, since then?
Who was that?
Bill Coffey.
He came over one time by himself. After you maybe go, I don't know, 6 months, a year later, after you guys been here, and he brought his guns, and we went to a place where they make tarps, and I was thinking, what in the world are you going to do with a tarp? He said, well, after I kill one, I'm gonna roll it onto this tarp and drag it out, you know. But, you know, he didn't get to see any. But it seemed like whenever you guys are here, you know, you can't see it, but when you're not here, they're around, you know.
Well, I got to tell you this, and I got all the respect in the world for Bill Coffey. He's a real man, okay? He popped his cherry out there by you, and when he saw what he saw, he knew what he had there. He comes to me and he says to me, Tom, he says, you just leave me here and I'll have this creature within the next 10 days. Okay? But then he also told me the story, he left, that it was your mother's next door neighbor got pissed off at him because he's walking the woods with a firearm without a person from the tribe.
Well, yeah.
You remember that story?
Well, yes. Anyway, when you guys came around, everybody knew that you were around. Everybody in town, everybody on the reservation knew that you were in town. And many people on the reservation started talking among themselves. And many of the elders said, well, these creatures have been here since we've been here, you know, and they don't bother anybody. And those men shouldn't come over here and try to kill one because, you know, they're not harming anybody. They just want to be left alone. And that's what influenced the tribal government, you know, to tell me that men with guns shouldn't come over to try to kill it. But the only thing that that I had an understanding is if you want to come and do some research, that was okay. But they don't want any creatures being harmed.
And totally understood. So, and we always respected that. I got to tell you this, though. I have never seen Bill Coffey since then. He has been on to other places. He was up in Montana. Bruce Schilt told us about it. He went to Arizona. AK told us that he came there using my name, of course, because they all knew him from me, and they thought he was A-OK. And I don't mind. But I don't care. And I'm sure he used my name when he came back to see you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was with the he was affiliated. You know.
Searching with, searching for Bigfoot team. Exactly.
Yeah, but.
And what are you
going to
do?
The,
say no? Well, no, I remember you there. Okay, okay, great.
Yeah. So, but the TV Bigfoot was here too.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. I had the pleasure to escort the, what's his name? The big guy? Bubba? Is it Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba.
Yeah. Bobo, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what did they see when they were there?
They didn't see anything, but they did some wood knocking, and they said at one point when they were doing the wood knocking, they heard the wood knocking way out yonder somewhere, you know.
Yeah, you know, I want you to hear this loud and clear. You heard it from his mouth. And all of the stuff that they picked up in a lot of their destinations where they went to, where do you think they picked them up? Off of our radio show and off of our website and off of our movies. We were always the first on location, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who know the truth, that is the truth. And we were the ones that were there on the scene. As soon as it broke the news or on TV or on the radio, they always called searching for Bigfoot team, and we motored out there. Then Animal Planet came along because they offered me the show in the beginning, okay? And I wasn't going to work that cheap. And I said, no, don't want it. And, yeah, they picked up. I guess they were there for six seasons or whatever the hell it was. They did pretty well. Where are they today? Anybody got a clue? Well,
I don't know. Aren't they still making a TV show?
No chance.
They might be on Oak Island.
I think Bobo's in rehab, Tom.
What?
I think Bobo's in rehab.
I heard that Moneymaker was in rehab because of the drugs. Now, I don't know, for sure, but if he is, I hope he gets recuperated and gets all whole again. And same thing with the Bobo guy. And I can just tell you this, Rocky, he's a hoot. He just mentioned about Oak Island. Oak Island's been on how many years? 10 years? And how many millions of dollars have they gone through? And, I caught the ending of it last night because the show that I love the best is called Yamashita's Gold, okay? The Gold of World War II. And they showed that last night again. And here I'm seeing the brothers, the smart one, the one that owns the winery, saying, well, now it's going to cost us not just millions, but tens of millions of dollars to continue on. Is it worth it or it isn't? And he went down the row of the war room table, and, of course, the leaner honors, the ones that don't have any skin in the game, they're going to come up and say, oh, yeah, we should do it another year. Well, they got the popularity and all the other bullshit. I want you people to remember one thing. Remember when they had last year the Confederate, or it was the Union soldiers that had a train loaded with gold, and supposedly it was in the Michigan River, and then these guys went and sponsored it? What happened at the end? Does anybody remember? Because I'll tell you, I do know. It was bricks covered with gold foil paper dumped down there, and those poor people were conned and hoaxed. Now, I don't know how many hundreds of thousand dollars the brothers put into that show, but that same guy tried to hook up with us, and I'm glad I got rid of that situation because, hey, you know what happened to us with the two cops from Georgia. I don't want to reiterate that bunch of bullshit, but you all know the story there. So now, what's happening? Then they got Skinwalker Ranch, which I think is a hoot in the hell, because I knew Bigelow, and we were up there, and Bigelow sells it to the Mormon family, the guy that's got mega bucks, and he's got that big research out there. And now they do the ground-penetrating radar, and they find this fucking cylinder thing out there as big as a UFO underground, and I guess they're going to start digging next week. That's an interesting show because, to me, that's all real because we all saw the UFO on the last episode. I mean, I'm really digging this stuff because I really believe in what they're doing now because the last movie I just did, Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths, encompasses that. Bigfoots, mud fossils, paranormal, UFOs. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? And the key to it is I become a believer on some of this stuff. But I think next week, and Yamashita's Gold, as a matter of fact, Rocky, if you watch it, they just uncovered a K-bar, a marine K-bar, in that cave that's been there since the Japanese War. So do the math. And so those sumbitches still hold up and buried in a cave, in a tunnel. So there's a lot that we don't know, folks, an awful lot we don't know. But we're coming, it's all coming to fruition. And hopefully Stephanie and Bud will be a breath of fresh air for us. And we'll come up with something here. She's a statistician, man. If she can make this all happen and work, listen, I'm glad she's a part of our team. What do you think about that? Did you hear about that at top of the hour, Theron?
No, I did not hear that.
Well, what do you think, Rocky?
Well, I don't know. I'm one of those old boys that believes, I don't believe in ghosts, but I don't want them chasing me. You know, I'm all about Yamashita's gold. I haven't ever seen it, but I'm, you know, anytime anybody can come up with anything, that's pretty great. But, you know, I think they're probably firing blanks when it comes to Oak Island.
Oh gosh, I feel so sorry for those people. The I don't know how many millions. It's got to be at least $15 million they got wrapped up in that thing. And I know he took a lot of money from his family's enterprises, including his winery, wrapped up into this thing. And he read it. He did a philosophy. He philosophized about, you know, the timeline from 1100 all the way up to the 1800s. So all those hundreds of years, and what'd they find? An axe, a chisel, a bit, an iron cross, some hair samples, some coconut, whatever the hell you call it. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's a lot of dough. And yeah, I understand it's history and rewriting history and all that, and it's a lot of dough, though, man. Okay? And what were they doing? What were they hiding? Was it all those religious artifacts? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But my God, after 10 years with all of that sophisticated equipment and all those people putting their lives on the line for this thing, damn. But I think you're right, Rocky. I think it's time to move on to something new. I really do.
Yeah.
After I heard...
You know, I'm glad that you had Miss Stephanie on, because we need all the help we can get.
Bet. You bet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it's not as simple as ABC, folks. This isn't something that you just say, okay, give me the map of the United States and give me a couple of darts, and where it lands, that's where Bigfoot's going to be. Not that simple. And remember, I've been doing this for over 52 years, so it's a long time a-coming. Long time a-coming. Anyhow, I got to tell you, sweet, I hope you're feeling better. David Ortiz, thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight. Again, Bud and Stephanie. We're going to be down the line here and doing a lot together. Of course, Ron, it's always been a joy and an inspiration talking with you and your people out there. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts, as usual. And I want to thank our Bigfoot family here in the United States and around the globe. Rocky and my co-host, thank you so much, brother. And
I want to thank you.
Oh, there's no thanks there for me. Don't worry about it. I'm just a staple here in the one of the cogs in the wheel. And I want to thank my grandson, T3. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
You're listening to Big...
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before.